Hi everyone. So the Bible reading is Ephesians 4:17-32 on page 1158 in the Church Bibles. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance and because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceptive desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Evening church, how are you doing tonight? You well? Oh, good. Good to hear you're awake. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, that your word is effective and helpful. We pray that we would hear what you're saying to us tonight. Amen. Have you ever said something that as soon as you've started saying it, you know you've made a mistake? No matter how much you try and turn what you've said into a cough, it still comes out. Maybe you were talking to someone about what's happening in the weekend coming up, and you said, hey, have a good week. I'll see you at your party on Saturday night. Only to realize it was a surprise birthday party. Or have you ever said something and realized halfway through that you actually didn't know what you were talking about? You might try and get away with it, but most people would see what you're saying, and then you don't really know what you're talking about. Have a look at this video.
My speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. And America needs a military where our best and brightest are proud to serve and proud to stay. If you're a single mother with two children, which is the toughest job in America as far as I'm concerned, and you're working hard to put food on your family, rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. See, I don't think you can be.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Now, hopefully there's no one here that's as bad as that. Right? Good, good. But I'm sure you've said some things, and you realize you don't sound exactly intelligent. Our words can affect us, and they can get us into trouble. But they can also affect other people. Have you ever said something that's not just embarrassing for you, but the other people around? What you thought was a funny quip could have just been a slip of the tongue that has caused someone else pain. You said, oh, Eric, I'll see you at the party on Saturday. Oh, sorry, you weren't invited. Oh, doesn't that hurt? It's very easy to do. My wife, Alyssa, is pregnant at the moment. 22 and a half weeks in that fun stage where she's kind of sticky outy. And people have asked me, within earshot of Alyssa, oh, how's she going? Is she looking fat yet? How do I respond to that? Of course, I'm you know, very careful. No, she's not looking fat. It's just one localized area and she's looking great. I think I've dodged those bullets. But have you ever been hurt by someone else's words? I know that there may be some of you here that are more sensitive to words, but I think they affect all of us. They could be just a comment from a friend or a colleague or a boss. You get back a report you've done and there's red pen all over it and there's, you know, fail written on it. Words are really important. We're in a series called Text and Subtext, and we've been reminded about how important words are. But words aren't just important because they can damage or get you in trouble, but they can also help people. Words can be used to build up and create. And we're going to have a look at God's word first, because God's words are powerful. At creation, he made things with his words. In Genesis 1, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." This is a reoccurring theme at the start of Genesis, if you've read it. It's pretty amazing. God says something, and there was. God says, let there be light, and there was light. God brings the heavens into being, and they come, and he says, let there be the earth, let there be all the things in the earth, and they come. And if you've had a look in John 1, it says that Jesus is God's word become flesh, who came to reveal God to mankind through his perfect sinless death. Death on a Roman cross, resurrection after 3 days, and ascension to glory at God's right hand. It is the good news of Jesus that spread across the world that is powerful to save. Powerful to save people from an eternity in hell. Now, I don't know how you were converted, if indeed you are following Jesus, but I'm sure at some point it involved words, whether it was a friend telling you about Jesus, whether it was coming to church and hearing a sermon preached, or whether it was reading the Bible and hearing God directly. God's word is powerful to create and to build people to be his followers. But we too can build with our words, or be built with words. Have you ever been encouraged by someone who's just said, you know, good job today, I really appreciate that? Or, you know, thanks for your help. I'm the kind of guy that I think my spiritual, you know, my love language is words. So, you know, if I've cleaned the whole house, when Alyssa gets home, I really need that, you know, verbal pat on the head, you know, good boy, thank you for taking care of it. I need that. But how helpful is it when someone also corrects in love? If someone actually says, hey, look, you shouldn't be parking in that parking spot at work, because that's actually the CEO's parking spot. Or, you know, if someone says, hey, let me get alongside you and show you how to catch a football. Because this is how we learn things, isn't it? Where someone comes alongside us and corrects us in love. Now, don't get too afraid. This isn't going to be a motivational talk about how you're the best and how you can climb every mountain. But tonight, we're going to see that we have two choices. We can either tear down and destroy with words, or we can build. Because God has made us like him, able to use our words to build up. And sure, we can't create things like matter out of them, but we can bring change because our words do matter. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul has been writing to the church in Ephesus about what it looks like to be a Christian. He's been saying, don't live like you used to, don't live like the Gentiles who don't know Jesus. But now that you know Jesus, you need to live differently, to take off your old life and to put on your new life in Jesus. And one of the key things he says is to speak differently, because words are important. So in your handouts, you should have some verses there. We're going to be looking at chapter 4 and verse 29. And it should also come up on the screen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. The word here for unwholesome means evil or rotten. And the word has been used in other parts of the Bible to talk about rotten fruit. So this is saying, don't let there be any rotten fruit in your mouth. Have you done that before? Have you ever had rotten fruit? Yeah? I had a pink lady recently. I really like pink ladies. They're just nice and crisp and juicy. I picked it up, gave it a good rub on the shirt, and bit into it, expecting something fantastic. But instead it was soft, squishy, it stank. Now, I don't know what your response is. Do you swish it around in your mouth? Use your tongue to see if there's a worm that you've bitten in half and see if you're still alive? No, you spit it out. You spit that rotten fruit straight out of your mouth without even thinking about it, because it's disgusting. What Paul is saying here is that unwholesome talk should be the same. There shouldn't be any dirty talk, no coarse joking, no hurtful comments. They should be repulsive. Now, I know you might be rolling your eyes at this. Oh, of course, Christians, they should be, you know, Ned Flanders, always saying nice things. But Paul is emphasizing this because people still need to hear it. Speech can very often be one of the last things that change. You know, we might not be doing those obvious things like murdering people or stealing off little old ladies. But we often forget about our speech. We often just dismiss it. We can continue to swear because, you know, we think, oh, I'm down at the pub with a couple of my mates. You know, they swear. To fit in, I really need to swear. Oh, I'm hanging out with some of my non-Christian girlfriends, which I do all the time. And, you know, they're gossiping. So, you know, I need to be fitting in with them because I need to, you know, spend time with them. But verse 29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but for the whole person to be transformed by Jesus and to put all of your old self off, including unhelpful speech. Our words can be very damaging. They can tear people down deliberately or accidentally, and they can get us into all kinds of trouble. So we're to be careful not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. But instead, we're to use our words to build. Now, if you have a look at this verse, there's no halfway point here. It's don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but instead be building with your words. Only what is helpful. Paul doesn't say that, you know, mindless chatter is okay. He doesn't say, look, if you don't like the person, just smile at them and be polite. No. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, and only speak what is helpful for building up. So there's no midway point there. But to speak only what is helpful. That's our first point tonight. Only what is helpful. Because we have been made in God's image. And just as his words are able to build up and shape things, so too do our words. Sure, our words can't create, but we can build up and encourage. And we're going to see three ways. That first one, as I said, only what is helpful. So have a look at this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. First of all, the words that come out of your mouth are to be helpful. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I don't know if the first adjective I'd use to describe my words is helpful. I'd probably like to think that my words are funny or witty, or when I'm talking with Alyssa, charming. But our words are to be helpful. And not just helpful in general, like giving people directions all day or doing, you know, just saying, hey, you know, that's where the bathrooms are at church. But our speech is actually to be helpful, to build up. I like how 1 Thessalonians 5 frames it. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Because of what Jesus has done, he has made for himself a people out of all nations. And we are to be united together, building each other up. And Hebrews 3 puts it like this: encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need to be encouraging one another and also placing ourselves in situations where we can be encouraged not to give in to sin. It's important to have someone in our lives who will regularly ask you how you're going, whether it's a Bible study leader or an older mentor. I have an accountability partner who regularly checks which sins I'm falling into, and he encourages me in the Lord out of it. And I appreciate that. You know, it's always painful, but I do appreciate it. Similarly, is there someone that you can be getting alongside to be encouraging and supporting so that they are not hardened by sin? Paul's second way of using words is to build up according to their needs. So do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. This means that our words need to be meaningful. We can't get away with, hey, Eric, you're great at your job, whatever it is you do, and you look okay. We can't just say meaningless things. I'm sure Eric is good at his job. Have a look at this video.
CBS 2's Serene Branson is live at the Staples Center with highlights and backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time. Serene.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrace Chase and look for the bit. They had the pit.
Meaningless. Meaningless. Her words were meaningless. Does anyone know what she was trying to say? Now, don't worry. She wasn't having a stroke, as some people said. She was just nervous. Are your words like that sometimes? Do you realize after having a conversation that you have no idea what you said? Maybe some ladies over here do that. But to actually speak to someone like Paul is indicating here and to build them up, we actually have to know what they need. That means being other person-centered, just like our God, who went through pain himself in sending Jesus to die so that we can know him. Now, it may take time to build relationships with people, you know, at church or at work, but you may have to sacrifice something that you wanted to do so you can actually find out what they need to hear, so you can actually know what's going on with them to be able to speak into their lives. If we do this, we can speak into their lives what they need most. They need to hear about God's love for them, that he hasn't left them alone without hope. If they're not a Christian, the most important thing they need to hear is about the saving work of Jesus on the cross. The third thing that Paul points out is that words should benefit those who listen. It's there in red, that it may benefit those who listen. This doesn't mean that we should just say nice things all day long and be, you know, that stereotypical Christian who can never say anything without a smile. But there are actually times when hard words are necessary. If you have a friend who is constantly getting drunk and driving, they don't need to hear how great it is that they can drink 10 schooners in under 3 minutes. But instead, they actually need to hear those hard words to be pruned back so that they can be built up. We need to hear that we should stop doing things because they are hurting people around us. It takes courage to tell other people this, especially if it's a good friend. And remember, this isn't a license to become super critical towards everyone, but to speak what is helpful to benefit those who listen. We need to be willing as well to hear what other people are saying to us, because we too need to be pruned back and to be built up by God. This verse is pretty clear. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When I was writing this talk, I thought, hey, okay, before I ask you to do this, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see how I go. One day can't be that hard, can it? So I set myself this task. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out, none at all, and only what is helpful. Sounds easy. And it was fine for the first couple of hours because I didn't see anybody until about 11 o'clock. I thought I was going well. And then it started getting hard. I was talking with my mates at college, and we're very Australian in how we talk. We like to tear each other down, pick apart their grammar when they make mistakes, point out each other's deficiencies, that they think too highly of coffee because they only buy it from Campos Coffee or Toby's Estate in Newtown. And they ridicule me because I don't mind the occasional Nescafe Blend 43. I don't think it's that bad. But I couldn't do it on that day. So I tried to say how great it is that they have a hobby in coffee. But I couldn't ridicule them because that's not helpful. So I found for the most of the day, I actually just wasn't talking much. I saw all these opportunities to make hilarious comments at people's expense, and I just couldn't say them. Maybe I'm just particularly bad at talking to people lovingly. I found later on in the day, I was walking with a guy I don't know too well, and we were just talking about the weather. Oh, you know, the sun comes out and then the clouds are coming back over. Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be like this all month. Yeah, it's not great, is it? I realized this conversation wasn't unwholesome, but it definitely wasn't helpful. It wasn't evil, but I wasn't building him up. Now, I'm not saying that every conversation has to be deep. You know, how are you going? You know, how is this weather affecting you on a personal level? But if we don't get past the pleasantries, then there is an issue. If we're actually not investing in people's time, investing in people's lives, and wanting to talk to them and wanting to love them, there is an issue there. I think this greatly reflects on our culture as well, that it's hard for me to go just one day. Now, I tried it, so I'm going to ask you to do the same. And you'll notice, just like I did, that there's a lot of things that come out of your mouth that are like rotten fruit without you even realizing it. But the aim is to try and replace them with words that build the people up around you because of what Jesus has done. This is going to be hard. It's going to be painful. You may have to spend time that you could be doing something different, getting to know those people around you. But we have a choice today. We can use our words like someone who doesn't really care about the people around us and not even think about what we're saying. Or because of the work Jesus is doing inside you, you can use your words like God who builds. Can you imagine being in a church that speak like we've seen tonight? A group of people that are other person-centered, who care about what is going on in your life and who encourage each other. Non-Christians would notice when they were talking to someone from this church. They would want to come to be with people who genuinely care and love them. So, are you going to be the church this week? Or are you going to not think about your words? Be like our God who has created us, and use your speech to build up and love those around you. Let me pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have created us like you, that we can speak we can be in relationships with people, but most of all that we can be in relationship with you. I pray that you will continue to change us to make us more like you every day. Amen.